Kicking off hour three of the morning show. Got Bob Baskerville here with John Reed. We are going to spend this hour to begin with talking about a little bit of what has been frustrating us so much here these last few weeks. It's been mostly in the basketball realm, but there's a lot starting to happen in the football realm when it comes to transfers and the transfer portal. And we've got just the guy to talk to about this a little bit. Distinguished Fan Run Radio alum, Trey Wallace from Outkick, is joining us. Trey, good morning to you, brother.
Hey, Josh, how are y'all?
We're good. We're good. So I was checking out some of your articles, namely about kind of college football writ large in terms of what's happening with the transfer portal, some of the potential chaos that we have yet to see but could still very well happen just given the
right
kind of the lack of guardrails in this space. But then also you had a really interesting article because John and I spent some time talking about Deion Sanders too, so we'll want to kind of pick your brain on some of this. But again, we haven't from a Tennessee perspective experienced much so far in this last week in the transfer portal other than Elijah Herring, but just want to expand a little bit on what you were writing and talk about what you're seeing from your perspective just around the country with some of the big brands.
Yeah, I think when it comes to the transfer portal, I still think a lot of folks have to realize we're still kind of early in this thing, in a sense. It started on Tuesday. We're sitting here on a Thursday. There are a lot of conversations that are still being had around the country. When it comes to coaches and players sitting down for exit interviews at a spring, you got NIL, entities sitting down with players and discussing, okay, here's what the next 6 months are going to look like. Here's what we can offer you to come back, next season, if it comes to that situation. I think that there is also, Bob, there is a couple schools still out there that still have spring games going on, Michigan. Has theirs this weekend, South Carolina, A&M, there's a few more. Hell, Deion Sanders doesn't hold his till next weekend. So what I'm getting, I think that right now with the transfer portal is you're seeing a lot of position players that were those four stars, coming out of high school and trying to find something that actually fits them, or maybe it could be their third or fourth home. And I think that's what's going to happen. And I think that's one of the biggest problems, Bob, that's going to come out of this new NCAA rule. And we've already seen it. We've already seen Caden Proctor be in Tuscaloosa, going to the Rose Bowl. He's around. Nick Saban retires. Okay. Iowa offers him a nice little check to come back home and play. He gets back to Iowa for 2.5 months. He's like, I think I had things better in Tuscaloosa. So I'm going to go back to Tuscaloosa. So that's technically three schools that he would be attending in a span of 4.5, 5 months. This new NCAA rule that's out there now that was pretty much put into place by the NCAA Division I Council yesterday, you get unlimited transfers now. And this is going to impact rosters a lot, in my opinion, because you're going to have players. One coach texted me the other night and said, man, I've had two players that have been here for 2 months, and now they're already discussing about leaving. Like, how do we have this conversation? And I asked him, I said, okay. I said, this is going to turn into an NFL-style roster cut situation, isn't it? And he kind of agreed, and I talked to a couple others, and I personally think that's where we're headed, Bob. And I know I'm kind of going off on a little bit of a tangent here, but when it comes to the way things are going and what the players wanted, when it comes to NIL, compensation, being able to discuss things, blah, blah, blah. You put that over there in that corner. Then you look at the transfers. Okay, well, we should be allowed to transfer as many times as we want. Okay, all right, you want to go transfer. At the end of the day, what we're going to see is coaches start to discuss why these players are leaving, why they're cutting players, why they're having to open up roster spots. I think that's where we're getting to. And I think that's going to change the sport even further. When you are going, when a Lane Kiffin or a Josh Heupel, Josh Heupel's a little bit different. I don't know how much he'd say. But when you have these coaches that sit up there and be like, okay, well, why did that player leave? Okay, he left because, okay, this, and we had to make room for him. Like, we're in a business now. Like, everything has changed. No more being, you know, amateur and nonchalant around these players. Now, this is a business. You're getting paid to do this type of stuff. I think that's one of the first things that stands out to me, Bob, about where we're going in college football, is just how much everything has changed, even from where we were a year ago.
Well, yeah, that was going to be my question. You know, you talked about the portal being still a new thing for the most part, but you already talk about the frustrations that coaches feel. Of course, some players get lost in the shuffle, but it's supposed to be empowering for them. How much worse can it actually get before we get changed, Trey? Like, where does this end up? How soon do we come up with something new? You know, you talked about the failed Super League that would try to maybe get some of this under control. But, like, where are we headed and how soon?
I mean, I think – so, big old question, John. I think we're going to a point where I think two things are going to happen. I think that – there's going to be some kind of splash, huge quarterback name unit. Something's going to happen in the spring portal period. I'm not talking about this spring, in the next week and a half. But I do think something else happens where this massive quarterback gets bought out of where he's at currently and decides, okay, I'm going to go play, let's just say, at LSU. You know, and this quarterback was at Texas A&M. Something along those lines. I think we're waiting for that massive domino to fall. I don't think, you know, Kate Proctor doesn't do it. You know what I mean? But a big name would. And then I think you have to step back and be like, whoa, wait a minute. Okay, this team just came and poached our starting quarterback at a Power 5 school to go to the next Power 5 school. Like, I think that one could make things interesting. Offensive linemen, defensive linemen, running backs, wide receivers, linebackers, you can go find players right now that kind of fits your system and what you want to do, and you can plug them in. If you're looking for a starter, there's enough guys out there that can become starters on your team. I think it's going to have to be one of those massive monster moves that really potentially changes things up. And they've already done the smart thing, in my opinion, in the spring, where they've gone 15 days with the transfer portal compared to the winter period where, what, it's like 45 days and – it got, you know, completely shrouded in coaching, you know, vacancies. You know, when Nick Saban left, it was a ripple effect. So you had players that, you know, we can name them, Arizona, Washington, you know, Harbaugh left for Michigan. You got them in Alabama because of Saban. I mean, you go on down the list, you know, UCLA, Chip Kelly's gone. You know, these players having to make these decisions on if you want to stick around really late in the cycle. And I think that's something else that's going to be looked at, you know, in the future, you know, is, okay, do we potentially push back the winter date a little bit? You know, I know they're already kind of moving it up, and I'm saying, okay, that's fine. Move it up that championship before championship week and let it go from there. But then what happens when all these coaches leave after the portal, you know, is closed? That's the thing to me that's going to be interesting. I think they made too quick of a move. They say, okay, in the winter coming up, we'll move up the portal date. Okay, well, you're kind of going to screw the guys. They're going to go to this school, and their coach is going to end up leaving because we see it every year. We see four or five big-name schools open up. So I think that's what potentially could, you know, hurt the players down the road, even though a waiver would take care of that, and they do get those 30 days. I think that one is something else to drop. And then, you know, looking at the grand scheme of things, John, overall, I think the one thing that Super League nonsense kind of got right in a way was the NIL distribution when it comes to television. I do think if we get down to a point 5-6 years from now, and they can win a case, meaning the players can present a case and fight it in the court system or whatnot, and find a way to make money off ESPN and Fox and CBS and whatnot, even if it's a small percentage, I think that's the next thing that comes out of this, besides some of the small stuff. So I think there's a lot on the horizon. And, you know, the only thing that's been stuck around, the only thing that's stuck is the SEC rule, where in the spring you cannot transfer from one SEC institution to the next. And it's crazy to think, out of everything that changes in college football, the one damn rule that sticks around is the one the SEC puts in place. So go figure.
We're joined by Trey Wallace with OutKick. Trey, we're going to keep it in kind of this whole transfer portal madness, but I touched on this at the top of the segment, and that is we were having a discussion about the whole Deion Sanders experience, Coach Prime at Colorado.
Ooh,
and there's all sorts of activity, you know, name player leaving, going into the portal. You got Shadur and Shiloh out there doing their own kind of recruiting and social media. My question for you, and John may have some others too, tied to this is, are we still, there's all this rub off that happened with Coach Prime last season. Obviously he was the
right.
toast of the town for the first month of the season, but then there was some real regression to the mean in terms of how the team really performed on the field. So there's only so much you can do with kind of the smoke and mirrors approach as he goes into year two. And given what, you know, as your article said, there's work that needs to be done in the transfer portal, and, you know, that window gets shorter and shorter, closes closer and closer each day. How do you think he stacks up? Is you know, moving into the Big 12, all of these other things, there's a lot in front of him. What are your thoughts on the Coach Prime experience right now?
I think with the transfer portal situation, Bob, like I said earlier, their spring game is not until, I think it's the 27th. It's not this Saturday, but next Saturday. So you're seeing a lot of movement from Colorado players. And they're finding out the hard way. As spring practice goes on, Deion Sanders pulled them in the office. Hey, man, look, we'll help you find another spot, but it's not working out here. And the situation with Deion Sanders is, man, this is his tactic of recruiting. This is how he recruits. He doesn't high school recruit. Like, he'll go out and find one or two, three big names, you know, like Jordan Seaton, you know, or Cormani McClain when he was still there, a Travis Hunter. But he's not showing up on campuses. He's not going to high schools. He's not recruiting. His coaches are barely showing up. Like, they have a – but I don't want to say that begrudgingly, because it's a tactic by Deion Sanders. Like, this is the hill he's going to die on, the transfer portal. That is how he's putting together a football team. It hasn't been as loud this spring compared to last year because, well, he was getting rid of 75 players off a roster. This year he's trying to plug in and play some of these guys, and I think that what you're also seeing at the same time is you're entering a new conference like the Big 12. There's a lot of pressure on Deion Sanders to win this season. And by winning, I mean, okay, don't get everybody going crazy in the month of September, then everything dies off in October, you know, in November. You know, my biggest thing is, I'll be out there next week. I want to see, in terms of fan support, okay, is it still sticking around? You know, can they sell out a spring game at Folsom Field? Like, they hold a lot. You know, it's like 40,000. Can they keep the momentum going where, you know, they enter the Big 12 next season and, okay, they have 5 wins and they're on the cusp of a bowl game, you know, right there beginning of November. Like, the next step to me is getting to a bowl game. You get to a bowl game, you win 6 games, 7 games, however you do it. Okay, there's your next step in the program. And then, okay, is he going to stick around? You know, if he finds success this year, that's been my whole thing since he got there. If he finds success in the second year, is he going to leave because Travis Hunter and Shadur and Shiloh aren't around anymore? You don't get to coach his kids every day. You know, the social media channels that are everywhere on YouTube that his kid does a great job at, by the way, how much of that is going to be involved? Like, there's so much to Deion Sanders as just a coach, but also as a public figure. So, you know, to me, figure out the transfer portal over the next 2 weeks. You're going to have to find, there are reports last night that there was going to be a number of Colorado players hitting the portal today. You even had their athletic director, Rick George, have some interesting comment last night, you know, saying you could thank the courts for that and the injunctions for why the transfer portal is what it is. But then you come back to Colorado and you could say, well, why are you complaining? Like, you're the one that's taking full advantage of this. You're the one that came out and said this is how we're going to do it. So what I'm getting at is that Deion Sanders has to back up a lot of what he has said. And if he fails at Colorado next year, in a Big 12 that's still going to be good, there's some teams in there, I think that that's when the problems start to arise and you wonder, okay, is this really going to be a four-year type of turnaround? Because he's not doing it traditionally. He's not going out filling this team with high school players. So really, you're giving him a little bit of extra grace by the reason that he's going out and finding college football players that are already 20, 21 years old. So I'm very interested to see, Bob, what the future looks like in terms of support, financials when it comes to NIL out there, and then also how many more players are going to be run off in the next week and a half, and how many more players can he add? Because this is it. You set your roster right here. Now, they don't have to sign with you immediately. A player doesn't. But they have to enter the portal by that certain date. I think it's May 1st, and then they can sign wherever over the summer. Any player can. So that, to me, is the biggest thing that stands out right now going forward, even though there's a lot more.
Is Shador the best quarterback in college football this year?
I didn't mean to laugh like that when it came up. It's just these conversations sometimes. I really don't know. Potentially, yeah. Do I think he's going to go out there and throw four touchdowns a game, something like that, three, four? Yes, I do. Is he the best quarterback? Man, he's going to have some competition, you know, and obviously. But I think overall he is going to be hyped up as much as possible, first off, by the broadcasting networks that own the rights to the Big 12. Second off, by his father, obviously.
Don't forget the mock drafts, Trey. He was projected number one. He's to be the number one pick and the number one quarterback taken next year.
I know, and some of that makes me laugh because, man, that's an easy way to get some clicks, right? Let's put out a mock draft with Shador Sanders, and here's why. He's got a lot to prove, man. He didn't have an offensive line last year. I'll give him that. Man, that offensive line was terrible besides Savion Washington. So they added – I think they've added six offensive linemen so far that actually have experience that could probably play at the level Colorado wants to play. But he's got to be able to stand in the pocket for more than 2 seconds. I think he's good enough to win it. But, John, are they going to get the Heisman Trophy to a guy – that led a football team to a 6-6, 7-5 season? I don't think they do.
If he can get them to 7-5, I'm completely fine with him getting the Heisman if he gets that team to 7-5.
I mean, okay, so like that's kind of the thinking of some people around the country. And so to me, it's like, wait a minute. Come on now. Like, you lost 5 football games. You won 7 in the Big 12. Okay, now you're a Heisman. I don't know. It's all going to come down to it. I don't know what that number mark is for him to be the guy. But
please note, Trey, as you laughed in my face for the question, I didn't ask if Shador was winning the damn Heisman. I asked if he was the best quarterback in the country. Those two things are not always the same thing, just for the record.
I'm not laughing.
You laughed right in my face.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at the fact that I saw one of those mock drafts yesterday. And it said in the piece, and man, this really was kind of infuriating. It said in the piece, well, he had enough time last year in the pocket to throw the football around. I can't imagine what it will look like this season when he has veteran offensive linemen. And I'm like, and I'm thinking, I'm not going to call out the writer, but I'm thinking, what games are you watching? Did you watch Colorado football last year? You know, so whatever. He has an opportunity. I agree with you, John. But he's going to have to, in terms of best quarterback in the country, going to have to get a lot out of receivers. You know, Horn.
I was just bringing it full circle, Trey. There was a conversation yesterday. 247 Sports ranked the best players in college football, and he came in as, I think, the fourth best player in college football and the best quarterback. It's not my take. My take is Nico.
Who was he behind?
He was behind James Pierce.
Travis Hunter.
Travis Hunter was number one, and there was a lineman or something from Michigan.
Yeah, Mason Graham, is that his name?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Shador came in at number four.
I could see Travis Hunter winning the Heisman over Shador.
Again, it's not about the damn Heisman, Trey. It's just best players.
Calm down.
All right.
Well, he laughed in my face.
I didn't laugh in your face. I laughed at kind of the same thing that y'all been laughing at.
No, I know. These, just ribbing.
These mocks, and we got no idea what the hell Colorado has on their football team.
Trey's given a literal definition to mock draft. Am I right, Sam? He is mocking the mock draft. Love you, brother. Appreciate the time, as always.
Man, y'all do a fantastic job. Loving the new studio, man. Listen to you guys every morning while I'm sitting around and doing my work. So, man, love it. Enjoy it. Y'all have a big baseball series this weekend. So
we do.
Good luck up there in Lexington.
Top five. Trey Wallace, you're number one in my heart, my brother. I appreciate the time.
Thank you, buddy.
Good work it out, Kick. Give him a follow. Give him some clicks. Talk to you later.
Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, man.
Didn't have time to get to any wrestling questions there, but big injury of Rhea Ripley. I'll text Trey. Yeah, your women's champ that's been champ for over a year. She big injury. She's out now. She had to vacate the title. I'll text Trey and get his thoughts on that.
Not to be, you know, the guy who is dragging WWE through the mud, but like, do they actually get injured, or is it like a Is it like a predetermined
injury? What the hell kind of question is that, Sam?
I think it's a fair question.
I think it's a fair question. Do you ever watch? Do you see what these athletes have to put themselves through? Do you know how much running and jumping and falling and like picking people up there actually are? Do they actually get injured? Do you think it's easy to work, you know, 250 nights a year, picking people up and falling down your body? They're real injuries.
I preface the question by saying this may be a bad question, but in a sport where it's basically
they're still athletes, by the way.
Okay.
You think ballet dancers, you think professional dancers sometimes pull a hammy or get hurt or fall?
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. You think stuntmen in movies actually get hurt every now and then?
I would compare them to stuntmen.
Now, and they get hurt sometimes.
Okay,
I'm excited for that Ryan Gosling movie coming out. But I will say, just to be fair, sometimes in the past, somebody has been going on vacation for 3 months and they've like written them off, or there's been some other type of storyline. But like, if they make them vacate the title and like they're actually talking about being injured, they don't usually lie about that.
Okay. So if they actually get injured, then it's sometimes it is for the storyline. That's what I'm trying to say.
It has been before. They don't really play with that loosely anymore, just because it's so like they're trying to legitimize it sort of as a real sport, sure, like real injuries and stuff.
Makes
but
it
like
cheap.
Yeah, but like, and usually somebody like, so if somebody needs surgery, so like a couple months ago, CM Punk, he like tore his tricep.
Yeah.
And so like to rot him off TV, they had a bad guy just beat the hell out of him and like really hurt him to like, now he's on the shelf. Like, I put him on the shelf, not like just his old bones.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Your arms hurt. Okay, well, we're going to beat you up for a little bit and look like we're breaking your ankle so that you can go off for 3 months and you can come back. So yeah, like it is a little bit like that, but no, she's actually hurt.
Okay.
I'll get Trey's thoughts on Rhea Ripley vacating the title, and that's what we'll lead next segment with. Stick with us. It's the Morning Show on Fan Run Radio.
Looking for a
official take from Trey Wallace. Furious. Got wrecked on the first night of the new era. Really stinks, because that's who I actually enjoyed the next dominant champ to face, Charlotte Flair. That's his take on Rhea Ripley's injury, as she had to vacate the title this week, Sam, in case you were wondering.
I was.
Yeah, real injury, by the way. Not fake injury. Real injury.
Real injury. I was trying to think of any, if there's ever been a ballet dancer that was injured by getting smashed on a standing table or something.
Ever watch Black Swan, bro?
Yeah.
I'd say she got injured. I still don't really understand that movie, but it was visually appealing. Still don't really know what happened in Black Swan. Don't really want to rewatch it. Weird movie. We've talked about scandals throughout the week. Shohei Ohtani, Jonte Porter. We had some updates to that yesterday, as Jonte Porter, turns out, he wasn't just an innocent bystander of happenstance. He was complicit in his own demise, as the former NBA player is going to remain a former NBA player for a very long time. I don't think you'll ever see him play professional basketball in America again. Maybe the Big Three gives him a chance. So he won't be an NBA player ever again.
Yeah, banished for life. Boy, that accelerated quickly. It makes you wonder how long they were behind the scenes checking him out, you know, because we just started talking about this, what, it was like maybe a week ago, maybe? And now here we are. He's done.
I feel like it's been a little bit longer than a week. I feel like the Jonte, was that, I was going to say 3 weeks. I feel like it's been since he got kind of pegged.
Yeah, maybe just some of the details have come out in the last week.
$80,000 same game parlay that associate of his placed on the under on all of Porter's statistics and ended up winning $1.1 million. Which seems crazy. If you're just using Jonte Porter unders, that $80,000 would pay a million. Because that's going to put it, you know, basically at 12 to 1 odds or so. Like, usually you can't put three or four unders together to get 12 to 1. So, like, I would like to know exactly just how. I guess if you could find one that had, like, alternate ones, too, where you can go even lower than usual, maybe. I would like to see what the actual parlay looked like.
Can we post the tickets?
I would really like to see the ticket, yeah, actually. Like, I want to see the odds on those, because $80,000 to win $1.1 million seems kind of crazy.
You also just have to be, like, the dumbest person in the world to think that you're not getting caught from that.
Well, DraftKings didn't pay it. They didn't pay the $1.1 million. I don't know what their reasoning was. If they say he didn't play enough minutes, I guess they have it in their bylaws. They could pretty much void any bet they want. I'd be pretty mad about that if I was that better. I'd be like, whoa.
This works.
I didn't break the law. I got an insider tip that I didn't ask for. There's no insider trading and gambling. I didn't fix the game. I know they'll put you in prison for it, you know, when it comes to stocks, you'll get big fines for that. But, like, this isn't the same as the stock market. I can have an inside guy. I can know something about an injury report that you don't. That's something Ace Rothstein would be proud of. You know, I've seen Casino. I know that. He knew everything. He knew when a kicker's girlfriend had dumped him. Come on. I just got better information than you. I'd be pretty mad about not getting that $1.1 million.
The sports betting operators don't mess around, too. I mean, they're the ones that blew the whistle. Not only did they not pay it out, they notified the NBA.
They ruined this guy's life, yeah, on top of it. You're not getting your $1.1 million, and I'm also taking you down, buddy.
Yeah. I just love, you know, like the game against the Clippers where he checked himself out because of a previous eye injury. I mean, these were all things, illness, eye injury, you know, nothing that's, you know, he visibly, thankfully, he didn't try to do a limp off or something where the trainer's like, what's wrong with you? There's nothing wrong with you.
People on social media went back to his Twitter all the way back to 2016.
I saw that.
Yeah, so he tweeted on December 31st, got that W with, like, the money emoji kind of, and then someone screenshotted who Missouri played, and they lost to Lipscomb 81-76.
Wow. He was on the take. I'd like to see his stats in that game. Yeah, he was on the take. He had Lipscomb on the money line. The league investigation revealed Jonte Porter placed at least 13 bets on NBA games, ranging from $15 to $22,000. Why the hell are you wasting your time betting $15 on an NBA game? And I'm not unit shaming anyone in the audience. $15 for an average person, that's fine. Like, I'm not saying that. I'm saying if you know you're breaking the law and going to put yourself into trouble, doing it for $15 seems kind of dumb. Like, that's kind of what Calvin Ridley did, right? Like, when he was placing those parlays, he was doing, like, $100. Like, when Calvin Ridley got in trouble for betting on the NFL, didn't he only, like, place, like, $1,000 in bets total or something like that? Like, it wasn't like he was trying to necessarily, you know, get rich or, like, rig the game or anything. It's just like he wanted some action. Seems crazy to bet $15 on a bet knowing that you're not supposed to be doing that. I don't understand. I don't understand the appeal there, unless you're just like, man, this $15. Like, I get a sweat, but also, like, I know I'm breaking federal laws. Now I really feel dangerous. $22,000, that's enough to raise some red flags, though. A $22,000 bet's enough to be like, okay, at least you're trying to pay for your car for the year. But yeah, he made 13 bets totaling $54,000. The NBA said the total payout for those bets was $76,000. So, hey, he won $22,000.
Hope it was worth it.
It probably was at the time. He was probably like, yes, this is great. I know what I'm doing. I'm making money.
On my G League deal.
I'm a VIP. They said he was a VIP at FanDuel. Like, he was like, hey, I'm the man.
Now, see, in that case, physically, maybe he was a grown-ass man, but these are pretty reckless behavioral tendencies, man. His parents cannot be proud.
No, his parents have to be pretty upset. If I'm Michael Porter Jr. myself, I'm pretty upset because he's going to be implicated in it, at least on the internet with jokes.
Yeah. I'd love a podcast episode with the two. Explain it. Sit down a little.
Like, come on, bro.
Crack into the mind of Jonte.
Bro, come on. But, like, I mean, seriously, like, Michael Porter Jr., that's your brother. That's your man. That's probably your best friend. You didn't know this was going on. Like, he hid this from you. That's the questions I'd be asking. Mm-hmm. And, by the way, go pull up Michael Porter Jr.'s stats from the finals. Just go look at them. Just go look at them because he did not necessarily play very well. If he were to be throwing the game, he would play about like he played in the finals against the Heat. Just saying.
You think that's why Nikola Jokic maybe looks so tired after these games? He's got to worry about his own teammates trying to throw the game?
You know, would it surprise you if you found out that Michael Porter Jr. had at least tipped off Jokic's brothers and, like, the Jokic brothers were in on this, making a bunch of money?
I'm in on that.
There's no other way because if they weren't involved and, you know, they find out that somehow the Porter family line is starting to hurt the potential of their brother. I would not want to be on the bad side of the Jokic brothers at all.
And also on the other side, Bob, like, you had a way that you were making all this money and you didn't include us. Like, you,
that's what I'm saying.
You didn't run it by the head of the table. You didn't run it by the chief of the Nuggets. Not Nikola, but his big brothers.
Mm-hmm. I hope he's got a horse named Jonte over in Serbia.
That's pretty good.
I mean, I'm just saying, if you were gonna be fixing anything and trying to make it look, unsuspicious, I'm just saying going 17, 19, 22, 4 for 28 in the finals, Michael Porter Jr. from three, that's kind of how that would look. You know what that is, Sam? That's 14% from three. I'm just saying.
I'm in on this.
He's got pretty shot, too. I mean, like his form and everything. It's like, how can you shoot that badly?
He's got a beautiful shot. The sweep of the Lakers, he shot 42% from three.
I think we got something here.
Now, all of a sudden, he was down to 14%. Hold on. Exactly what was happening there? Did you have a big bet on the Heat? I don't know.
Fan Run investigates.
Uh-huh. Or at least, taking his own unders. I don't know. So, yeah, Porter Jr., maybe not involved in this. Probably not fair to say. Jonte Porter wins $22,000. The NBA said he won. Okay, so those, let's see. None of those bets involved any game in which Porter played. Three of the bets were parlays, including one that included a bet to Raptors, the Raptors to lose. He lost all three parlays, according to the NBA. The 4 minute leaving with an eye injury is crazy, man. Like,
yeah.
Dude, at least, like, if you were going to rig or throw a game, leaving with an injury seems smart, but you can only probably go to that well one time, and you can't leave with an eye injury. You got to, like, roll your ankle really bad. You got to take one for the team and just, like, come down on somebody's foot. Like, every time you're jumping, you're looking down, trying to land on somebody's foot. But, like, do you not just, like, get into foul trouble? Is that not the best route? Just, like, start hacking? Just reach really badly a couple times and, like, have your minutes limited that way.
Set a couple, like, really bad charge attempts.
Yeah, that's it. Just a couple bad screens. Like, yeah. Just slide, make it obvious. Slide that hip into him. Like, I feel like that would be a little bit better than, like, owie, my eye hurts. I thought I could play. I can't now. Like, at least go with, like, a lower back issue because that's something, look, not to take any shots at Michael Porter Jr., but, like, he's got a bad back. He's had a bad back for a long time. You could say maybe. Yeah, it runs in the family. I got a genetic disorder in my back. It's tightening up a little bit. I don't feel great. I slept bad on the air mattress last night. I said air mattress. Yeah, I'm a G League player, man. What do you expect? I don't make this money. I can't live in luxury like you. I'm 6'8", 6'10". These hotel beds, they don't accommodate me very properly. That's the route I maybe would have gone.
I mean, illness is probably the easiest one, but I guess he'd already used it, so he wanted to come up with something else. I just keep saying it, unless he goes and literally hurts himself, like you were saying, John, you go and say, my back's acting up, a trainer looks at it, it's like, I don't see anything, man. What, get back in there.
Can you see a back history though? Like, I mean, I don't know. Like, if you're spasming, like, do the muscles actually like lock up and tighten up? Like, how does, I don't know the science behind that.
You search for pain, and you know, then that becomes him.
Anytime he touches me,
yeah.
But then you got, it's a fine line though. You're like, you know what? I'm gonna be a warrior. I'm gonna try to play tonight. And they're trying to say you can't play, but like, no, I gotta play tonight. Like, I'm gonna give it a go. I'm gonna test it out. And then you come out a couple minutes later. Nope.
Get up and kind of collapse. Yeah. And be like, oh no, man, I just can't.
He's got to really find a way to fall down one time really hard. You got to be Jim Carrey and Liar Liar, just beating your own ass in the bathroom. You got to find a way to hurt yourself.
Oh, my God.
I'm whipping my ass. Do you mind? That was one of my favorite movie scenes as a young kid. You know what I'm talking about, Bob? You ever seen Liar Liar?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, Sam? You ever seen Liar Liar?
No.
He's a lawyer, and he can't tell a lie because his son's like, hey, that's my birthday wish, and it comes true because he's always disappointing his son. So then he wakes up the next day and he's got to go to court and he can't lie. So he's having to tell the truth and it doesn't go well. Hijinks ensue. But then he realizes in the bathroom when he punches himself, he gets a brilliant idea that if he beats his own ass, they'll maybe postpone the trial. So okay. Roughs himself up real good, throwing himself into the wall, stomping on his own foot. Tries to even give himself a swirly. You know, Jim Carrey histrionics. And then he goes in there and he's been beaten up, and the judge is like, oh my God, who did this to you? And he's just like, a madman. Describes himself, so he's not lying. A man at the end of his ropes, about 6'3", gangly. And then the judge is like, well, we gotta call this off unless you can continue. But then he can't lie, so he says he can continue. So he's just sitting there, just bloody nose. Just whipped his own ass for no reason.
Can you kick your own ass?
He does. He does, spoil it. Well, I won't spoil Fight Club, he whips his own ass in that one too, sure. Kind of a little bit, because spoiler, there is no Brad Pitt character. Sorry for ruining the movie that came out, 30 years ago. But I think you can whip your own ass. Just run into the wall a couple times. That's all he did.
Yeah.
But whether or not you can actually go through with it,
it's more psychological than.
Is it physical. Like when you try to drown yourself? They always say you can't actually drown yourself because your body will be like, nope, you got to come up. But is there somebody somewhere that's actually like, hey, I'm going to drown myself and I'm just going to sit at the bottom of the pool and I'm not going to give in to coming up? I don't know.
Definitely psychological.
You don't hear from those people that are succeeding in drowning themselves. It just looks accidental unless you leave a note, I guess.
Mm-hmm. This was,
Just got to, I punched myself a couple times.
Sure, but
during bets, I really weigh into my thighs.
That's I do too.
I punch myself so hard in the thighs. I had a friend that used to punch himself in the face hard.
You ever slapped
it crazy?
You ever slapped yourself in the face if you're driving on a long drive and you want to wake yourself up?
That doesn't really work for me. I just roll the windows down. That's my goal, is just try to freeze myself out. It's kind of the only way. It's probably better just pull over and take a nap, I guess. But we've all been sleepy behind the wheel,
Yeah.
You'd start pulling punches eventually, though,
Sure.
But he didn't. He was a madman at the end of his ropes. He roughed himself up good. Now, you just got to slam the toilet seat on your head like he was doing. Yeah, just try it.
Okay.
Let's see what you can do it.
I'll come by tomorrow with a bloody nose.
Yeah. Video it. I'd like to see.
Okay.
Yeah. Last call on the other side. It's the morning show on Fan Run Radio.
Ever been the coach?
Yeah, you heard it there on the Fox Sports update. Kobe White absolutely whipped the Hawks' ass last night, 42 points. He's good. It took him a while to actually kind of get going, but kind of having his breakout season here in year five. The Bulls feel like they should be better. I mean, I know Zach LaVine's hurt. I know LaMelo Ball's hurt, but
Lonzo.
Lonzo, I always say that. LaMelo probably hurt too in Charlotte, but Lonzo Ball. It's been so long since we've seen him play. I've forgotten his name. LiAngelo, I know that's the loser one.
Yes.
I don't know what he's up to, but he's a loser.
Did the Vooch trade kind of screw them over? Did that end up being bad for them?
It hasn't worked out long term for them. The draft picks they gave up has really set Orlando up to be a pretty good young core. And
would they have been better off with Wendell Carter? Is that who they traded for?
Yeah. Yeah, they'd be better off not paying Vooch and just having those assets, because they haven't accomplished anything. You know what I mean? They won a couple games off the Bucks a couple years ago in the playoffs, but that's it. Now, again, if Lonzo wasn't hurt and he was that guy they envisioned him to be, and LaVine was out there, they'd have a pretty good wing core. Maybe it goes differently for them. I don't know, but it feels like they should be better even without him out there.
Now, they do have some interesting ingredients, too. And it's funny about Vooch. He's always like a – he's a walking double-double all the time, but probably not as successful a deal as they thought, for sure. I love LaVine as a player. I mean
– oof, I do not.
You don't?
He's one of those ugly, inefficient guys that I think of. Like, it doesn't really impact winning, just like a stats guy's kind of the way I view him.
Well, that's true.
He is pretty to watch. I mean, that's like, what I'm saying. He's got a good game.
Very smooth, but yeah, you're right. He doesn't really have a record of winning.
Yeah. I was intrigued by his name when he was linked to maybe getting to the Lakers and kind of trying to help LeBron and AD with the scoring. That I thought was interesting, but yeah, no, he got hurt instead.
Just looks effortless for him to me when he's out there, but doesn't correlate to wins.
Sam, did you make it very long into my Hawks last night, the 9:30 tip?
Sorry, no. I probably got quarter and a half maybe, supporting my boy Garrison Matthews.
Okay. He got a technical foul in the fourth quarter, which I thought was funny.
Really? He got into some foul trouble.
Or maybe it was into the third quarter. But, yeah, I think Garrison Matthews, you're barely getting any minutes. When you play, you can't get a technical.
Yeah, why has he been getting so many minutes?
Because the Hawks are hurt. Like, okay. They had three of their main guys out last night.
I was going to ask if he's been getting minutes.
They had like three guys over 40 minutes played, right?
Yeah, I'm not making excuses. The team wasn't good if those guys were healthy anyways. But, like, Jalen Johnson's been their second or third best player all year. Kongwu's like their sixth or seventh best player. Both those guys were out. Like, the Bulls have injuries too. Like, it wasn't why the Hawks got dominated last night, but that's why Garrison Matthews got to play at least.
How much does he normally play? 10 minutes a game.
In an ideal situation, he has a play.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like if the roster's healthy, he doesn't play, but he's gotten some minutes.
I tune in to support him. That's about it.
Why is he your boy?
He was my high school.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I guess not same years. So
he's about my brother's age, but okay. I watched him as like an eighth grader. I
didn't realize that. Mm-hmm. Was he nasty in high school?
Yeah, cold.
I figured everybody that's on an NBA roster was just dominant in high school. But like, how good are we talking?
No, he was really good. He was almost better at football too, because he was like that size, 6'5"-ish, 6'6" almost, and like played wide receiver, kind of tight end in high school.
Yeah. I bet he was good.
But he was really good.
Tight end seems weird, but
we had a weird team.
He's got a badass sleeve on his arm.
Yeah, he got that once he kind of got to the league. He didn't really have that at Lipscomb when he played either.
Yeah.
But yeah, we went to my high school.
And that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Hawks are going to.
He's only on a one-year deal, right? I think
they traded for him last year, it was like a salary dump, but he got included like in the trade. So like I can't imagine he's like in any long-term plans there. But he shot pretty well this year when he played.
He had I saw some graphic they put up. He was one of the top three-point percentage guys like in the league for like a minimum amount of attempts.
Yeah, I mean he shot 44% from three. So I mean the white shooter. I mean that is mm-hmm. who he is.
Yeah,
that's enough Garrison Matthews talk now.
Yeah,
no. Yeah. It does make for those Friday night final play-in games. The drama is a little less with Jimmy out and Zion's going to be out for his game, the Pelicans game against Sacramento. So you kind of feel like maybe you know what's going to happen in those two games.
Well, I don't know. The coin flip spreads are still there for both of them. They're still only 1 point spreads, 1.5
really?
Point spreads in both games. Yeah, I mean, the Heat are slight favorites right now at home, even without Butler. I guess they think they can put it together to beat that Bulls team. And then, yeah, Zion out. But the Kings are having to go on the road. And the Pelicans match up pretty well with them with all the defensive wings they have. So, I still think the Pelicans will win without Zion personally.
Well, yeah, and Kings, I don't have it in front of me. They're not. They're definitely not. They're a different team on the road. So, yeah. I could see that.
But, losing the two biggest – of those four teams, those are probably the two biggest stars, right? Jimmy Butler and Zion. Like, both of the biggest stars are out.
Yep. I would say so.
Yeah. And they said Jimmy Butler is going to be out weak, so even if they do win, them going up against the Celtics, despite how scary the Celtics would be, or how scary the Heat are to the Celtics because they always give them a series or beat them, without Jimmy Butler, that goes away too. So it feels like they would get the brooms out on them anyway. So the Heat season's over, whether it be Friday night or, four games into the first-round series.
Yeah, it's true.
All right, new segment here. What were you thinking? Sam, you got the imaging ready for that? You got an intro?
Yeah. I got it right here.
Okay, go ahead. What were you thinking?
Just played it.
What were you thinking?
What were you thinking?
Now, we thought this would be a good day to start this. We'll bookend. At the beginning of the show, we had a great What Were You Thinking? We think this is something we can do each week. You know, somebody's doing something that's boneheaded. First, it was Greg Doyle with the way he, I was going to say fawned over Caitlin Clark, but it was a little creepier than fawning. But then the other one that we'll end the show with is Jason Kelce, who lost his Super Bowl ring in a pool of Skyline chili. It says here, Kelce, along with his brother Travis, held the great Lom Baby Games at the University of Cincinnati, competitions between athletes and academics, and involved a game wherein competitors dove into pools of Skyline chili. And so Kelce said he lost his Super Bowl ring in one of those pools, and the problem is he couldn't find it, can't really go and deep dive into a bowl, you know, big pool of chili, and then all that stuff gets thrown out, it, you know, gets disposed of. So he was saying, I think my ring's probably somewhere in a dump in Cincinnati.
Are you buying this?
I don't know. I don't know why he'd make that up.
What are you doing wearing your Super Bowl ring out, though?
Well,
I would never wear that thing.
He's a real look at me type of guy.
He sure is.
Jason Kelce, and look, I'm not throwing stones, but he's a real look at me, Louie. Like he wants people to look at him. He wants to be.
You think? I feel like that's more Travis.
No, I think it's definitely more Jason than
really?
Travis.
Yeah,
the fat guy's always kind of like he's taking his shirt off at the Bills
game.
Once
he starts drinking. Yeah,
he's at the WrestleMania, you know, getting involved in a storyline there. Like he wants to be seen, and it's fine. I'm not blaming him for it, but that's why he's wearing the Super Bowl ring.
Yeah, and he, you know, said he's already in the process of trying to replace it, but he's not sure the insurance company will cover that cost. It's like I think he'll be fine. If you want to buy a new one, you can, but.
The real What Were You Thinking might have just been getting in a tub of Skyline chili.
Well, yeah, and again, you said it, Sam. Why would you have that ring on it anyway? Unless he was just showing that off at this whatever this Lom Baby competition was. That I need to figure out too. It just all sounds weird.
Why would he do it? Page views and podcast clicks. That's
sure,
why.
Yeah.
He's a content creator.
New heights.
If this was a Paul brother doing this, we'd all be like, oh, it's a publicity stunt. But it's because the Kelce brother. Sam's giving him the benefit of the doubt, but not me. Not me. I don't even know if he lost the damn ring.
Yeah.
It's going to be real convenient if he finds his replacement, and all of a sudden his replacement's there, and he's wearing it around and wearing it out. My antenna's up on this one.
Even if you found it, man, it's got to be gross. I mean, you know, that thing's got all sorts of nips and tucks in it, and you probably have chili stuck in it. And
also it's Skyline chili, which is also gross. So, yeah it's going to be gross regardless.
Yeah.
Good show by you two today.
Thank you.
Do it again tomorrow, Friday, coming at you soon. The G.I. Jake show is up next. Stay locked in on Fan Run Radio.